We're kind of doing things a little differently here this morning because the place we start with the book of Acts is actually at the cross of Christ. I like it, Mo. You got your hair cut. Looks good. Looks good. So we're going to be moving towards Acts chapter 1, but to do that I wanted to begin in Luke chapter 23 and 24. And in our class, we've been talking about this some this morning, but we're talking about a church on fire. And basically I think in chapter 23, Luke begins telling this story about the conclusion of the life of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and finally his ascension to heaven. And then it's like this crescendo begins as the momentum begins to build with the planting of the church, the establishing of the church in the very first century, coming away from the cross. And so I wanted just to begin with Luke chapter 23 and 24 to just kind of give you a description here. Luke and Acts is really one book, but they're in two volumes, if you can kind of make sense of that. You've ever read volume one and volume two of various books that you may have read back in high school or college. Basically, he's telling the story. I mean, the way Luke does this is so masterful. The way he weaves in Old Testament into the story of Jesus Christ without overtly referencing Old Testament scripture. You just see it behind the scenes as promises are being fulfilled. The law and the prophets are beginning to be fleshed out through Jesus Christ. And then as this process begins and moves into Acts, you really have this sense of God's salvation history, his story of man's, of God appealing to man intentionally, deliberately, with a forethought and planning from the very beginning. And in Luke and Acts, you just get this very sense of the sweep of God as he's moving through the life of Jesus Christ, and then he moves through the church. And so it's this whole thing here begins in volume 1, in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Luke says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used here that fulfilled, that's the idea of the law and the prophets being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, is what he's talking about. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. That began volume 1. Volume 2 then starts in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where he says, in my first book, referring back to the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, and that's what he did in the Gospel of Luke, until the day he was taken up to heaven, giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. And so he begins then the discussion of the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 1, and going through to the end. What you have, I believe, one way of describing it is the church on fire. There's something about the way Luke begins to weave. He's been doing it in Luke. The Holy Spirit just keeps, you just see the Spirit moving through all of the events of the Gospel of Luke, and it continues on through the book of Acts, and you see Jesus and his role being consistently, but it functions in a very different way. And when you move into Acts, because of his ascension, Christ is still very much a part of the story. He's still very involved with the founding of the church, but now he's doing it through his promised Holy Spirit. And as you see the Spirit moving through, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, endorsing what's happening as the church begins to expand into the world. And so that's kind of what you get. Here in Luke chapter 23 and all the way through Acts chapter 12, you get these two bookends. We talked about in class this morning, talked about them more extravagantly. Here's a bust of what Herod Antipas may have looked like. This isn't the one that killed all the babies, the infant babies, when Jesus was born. This is his father. That was his father, Herod. Herod Antipas was educated in Rome, was friends with Caesar, has a great, incredible history, but he was now over the area of Galilee. And we find him in the early on, Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12. He's got Jesus there in front of him. He's looking for Jesus to do a magic trick. Jesus doesn't do the magic trick. Instead, he just stands there silently without a word, without movement. And Herod is trying to get him to do something. Finally takes one of his royal robes and he throws it over Jesus' shoulders as they mock him and as they ridicule him. This kind of begins a transition in the Gospel of Luke that leads us right into Acts through those first 12 chapters. You have this royal robe that's being placed on Jesus as they mock him and humiliate him. There's another sense of royal robes that will appear in Acts chapter 12. And we talked about this morning. Because this is when he's up in Tyre and Sidon, he's doing some negotiations up there, and they finally come to this great agreement, and everybody's celebrating the arrival of Herod, and they see him come out, and he's got his royal robes on him, Luke tells us. The writer Josephus records this very incident. And he talks about this robe, how it had pieces of metal and glass all over it, so that when he stepped into the sunlight, there was just this burst of light that came from where he was. And this robe was something that made, and so Luke tells us there in chapter 12, everyone fell down and worshiped, saying, he's like a god. Herod wears a robe to mock God. Luke tells us he died from worms. Josephus tells us it took 4 or 5 days for him to die, eaten from the inside out by worms. Luke makes it very clear this was because he didn't give honor to God. Instead, he accepted it for himself. All right, so you have the first book in Luke chapter 23. Verses 6 through 12, this royal robe that Herod places upon Jesus. And in Acts chapter 12, you have Herod coming out wearing the royal robe. In between those two bookends, then, you have basically the history of the church, which begins with the trial of Jesus. Pilate, the Gentile, trying to get Jesus unacquitted, but the Jews will not let him off the hook. And so 3 different times he comes to them. Surely you're kidding. There's nothing wrong with this man. Why do you want to kill him? And they just start screaming out, crucify him, crucify him. As a way to try and gain some bargaining position with these people, he says, I'll tell you what, take a choice between this murderer, Barabbas, and this guy, Jesus, whose kingdom isn't of this world. So we want Barabbas. Meanwhile, you crucify him. Here you have a Gentile that's trying to come to Jesus with some sort of understanding of his innocence. And you have the very people Jesus has come through rejecting him. This is the gospel according to Luke as he begins telling us the story that will carry on through Acts. The cross, then, of Jesus. You have him nailed with these two men on either side, both ridiculing him until one has this twinge of conscience that says, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so there's this welcoming of the sinner, this powerful story in Luke about how Jesus throws open the gates to the sinner that's dying on the very cross next to him. In spite of all of his sin and all of the tragedy, Jesus there dies on the cross. And Luke tells us this very graphic picture. If you piece together all the different things from the different Gospels, there's a whole lot of things that are happening here. But here it is, dead noon, in the middle of the day, on the day of Jesus' crucifixion, and all of a sudden the sun turns off. It goes black, dark, at high noon, in April. It's right overhead, right? And all of a sudden, it's black. And all of a sudden, the ground begins to shake. And all of a sudden, these tombs are bursting open. And the curtain in the temple is torn in half, Luke tells us, opening the gates to the Holy of Holies, not only to the priestly servers who have been sacrificing these lambs, but also, as he symbolically talks about how the gospel is going into all the world. There's just the symbolism that's going through Luke's gospel. But you find with all of these events, you have this Gentile all of a sudden worshiping God, praising God, and saying, surely this was a holy man. You have the disciples standing far away, including some of the women who'd followed him right from the very beginning of Galilee, watching these things happen. And Luke gives us this little insight into what's happening to the Jews there as all of this is happening. They start beating their chests as they walk away from the cross. The ground's shaking, it's dark, and they're thinking, what have we done? What have we done? Luke introduces this whole movement of the gospel by talking about how these two men who had been leaders but afraid to be associated with Jesus came to Pilate and they said, can we take his body down? And so quietly they removed Jesus' body from the cross. They carry him to an unused tomb of Joseph's, Joseph of Arimathea, and they place him in there. And the disciples, they scattered, right? But you find the women gathering around to make sure they know where to go when it comes time to come back. And they go home and begin preparing the spices that they're going to use Sunday morning, the first day of the week. But today, the Sabbath day, they rest. And so that's kind of our introduction to Acts, which leads us to the table. So this song is going to introduce us to the table as we begin contemplating the death and the burial of Jesus Christ.
So as it says, we'll sing all.
In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus.
Now I have the clicker. All right. I'm just so excited about having a time for our kids to get some personalized instruction in God's Word. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you so much, Corby, and for doing all that. So that lends Luke chapter 23. With the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and finally, the death, burial of Christ. And then there's chapter 24. And chapter 24 is when he comes back. As we begin with chapter 24, we hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, Mary and Martha had already gone there with other women, and they knew where it was because they'd followed Joseph and Nicodemus as they carried Jesus' body and buried it in the tomb. They come back that next morning and he's gone. And there are these angels telling them he's risen from the dead. And it's just, it moves pretty quickly as we just quickly go past the resurrection, and then we move to these two guys who are walking down the road on the way to a city called Emmaus. And as they're just quietly walking along, this third person comes up behind them and begins to walk with them. He's got his head covered, perhaps, maybe as a traveler on a long-distance journey, and he just begins walking with them. And he asks them, "What were you talking about?" And they were like, "Everybody's talking about this. Now, remember how we've left the cross, people beating their breasts, sorrowing over what they've done, and you have these two men walking along who are just, they're talking about the events of the past day, of the past days, and they don't know what to make of it." And so Jesus asks them about that, and they say, "What, you mean you don't know about all the things that have been happening in Jerusalem?" And he said, and he begins to tell them the story. And he begins to tell them the story from the law and the prophets and how all of these things were to be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Now, what actually happened on the cross was part of God's overall plan. And as they get to the end of their journey, they don't know it's Jesus yet until they sit down to have a meal. And suddenly Jesus breaks the bread like he always did, and he says the Jewish blessing over the bread, and suddenly they're like, "It's him," and the bread just drops to the ground and he disappears. Can you imagine that scene? Well, what do you think they did? Well, wasn't that interesting, George? they didn't eat. They just got up and they bolted back to Jerusalem. They had to tell the disciples. What an exciting story. And from that point on, Luke begins building this story all the way through the book of Acts, that just really, there are these multiple appearances where Jesus appears before them and he's making himself known. He's eating with them so that they know.